2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 30. And it reads, "For by you I have run through a troop, by my God I have leaped over a wall." If God tells us to attack an army with a cork gun, if he tells us to do that, he's going to give us the ability to do it. And if we do it, we're going to win. If God is telling us to do something that we never could see ourselves doing, but we go ahead and do it, God will give us the ability to do it. With God on our side, we are unbeatable if we do His will. 31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them who trust in Him. God is perfect. His word is perfect as well. Has to be. If He's perfect, then His word would be perfect too. So if some of God's word does not seem to make sense to us, it's only because we're not as smart as He is. The problem's not with God or His word, it's with us. It's with our lack of understanding. 32, "For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God?" There's only one God, the only true God, and He's the God of the Bible. He's revealed in His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus in bodily form. So anyone or anything else that claims to be God is demonic. It is a lie. And that goes for Allah. You know, Allah is not the God of the Old Testament. No matter what the Muslims say, no matter what the Catholics say, no matter what anyone says. Anyone or anything else that claims to be God other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is demonic, is a lie. And that goes for all the Hindu gods as well. They are all demonic deceptions that lead to nowhere except hell. Because none of them teaches that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, which Jesus Himself said He was. 33. God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, means just as fast as the feet of a deer. He sets me upon my high places. You cannot trip a deer. They're way too agile and graceful. And if we walk in the Spirit as Christians, God gives us the feet of a deer. Nothing or no one can trip us up and make us sin. We are spiritually invincible when we walk in the Spirit. You know, God must get so sick of hearing the excuses that Christians give for their sin. There are no excuses. And there's only one reason, and the sinner has chosen the sin, and that's why. 35. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bowl of steel is broken by my arms. Philippians 4:13 puts it like this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If it needs to be done according to God, we can do it by the power, strength, and wisdom that He provides. 36, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great." Salvation is given by God. It is given by Him, not earned by man. Say it again. Salvation is given by God, not earned by man. And the Old Testament and the New, it is a gift of God. There's never anything but that. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. 37. You have enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Security is ours if we are a child of God through Jesus Christ. And just as you want to protect your child, God protects his children. 38. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, and they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. You have girded me with strength to battle. Them whom rose up against me have you subdued under me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them who hate me. David knew from personal experience that God is a saving God who strengthens his own and causes them to do what they never thought they could do. The Bible is the most important thing, but a Christian who has experienced God working in them and for them can speak the word of God with greater conviction than one who has just read about God. That's not putting down the Bible at all. That's absolutely essential. But you put an exclamation mark behind your Bible teaching, and when you talk about the Bible, when you have experienced God in your own personal life, especially through difficult times. One reason God allows us to go through trials is so that we can testify to the greatness and the power of God. 42. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. If a heathen who never knew God and never does not care about God prays to God for something that is contrary to his will, they're firing blanks as far as prayers are concerned. They're not going to be heard. They're not going to be answered. They're just going to be ignored. Again, that's a heathen who never knew God and doesn't care about God. You pray for something that is contrary to God's will. You pray for anything. God's not going to hear it because the Bible says your sins have separated you from God. 43. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. That was God's answer to the heathen who prayed against his child David. God caused David to stomp his enemies right into the ground. 44. You also have delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me to be head of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Verse 45, strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. Many heathen admired David back in the days when he was running from Saul. They saw how David, with his few hundred, outlasted and outmaneuvered Saul with his thousands. And some might say, well, David sure was lucky. Not so. He had God on his side. There's no luck with God's people. No luck, only the providence of God working out his plan in them. 47. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. The word lives here, the Lord lives, means continues to live, and that is eternal, and that is God. False gods are invented by people. The one true God and his eternal Son have always been. The Lord continues to live. 48. It is God who avenges me and who brings down the people under me and who brings me forth from my enemies You also have lifted me up on high above them who rose up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Any success David has had has come from the fact that God made him the way he did and made his success the way he did. Each one of us are no more than what God allows us to be. We can hinder his work in us through continued sin, but any level of good we attain is God's doing. 50. Therefore, I will give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto your name. God's part was to make David what he is. David's part, praise God for what he does in him and through him. It's good to recognize Almighty God for any of our accomplishments and to thank him for working in and through us and to thank him for working for us. 51. He is the tower of salvation for his king and shows mercy to his anointed unto David and to his seed forevermore. The seed of David, who God blesses forevermore, is David's holy offspring, Jesus. That's what that's referring to. Jesus is God because he is God's son. And he is man because he is David's descendant. And he is the heir of David's throne who will rule forever and ever. God's son, the offspring of David according to his mother's side, ruling forever and ever, not just over Israel, but over the entire new earth and the universe and everything. Chapter 23. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, let's just stop there for a second. You know, when it says that these be the last words of David, it's not talking about last words, period, but last inspired words of God spoken through David. Never again will God ever inspire David to write Holy Scripture. This is it. Our time to serve God has a limit. One day will be our last day to use any gifts that God gives us or any opportunities that God gives us. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. David knew that God used him to write Scripture. God put his words, in David's mind. God put his words on David's soul, and David started writing, and it flowed, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. 3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. In other words, if a leader fears God, he can be a good leader. I have a litmus test before I will vote for someone. They need to fear God, and they need to govern on biblical principles the best they can in a pluralistic society. Why? Because the Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. A leader has to be in touch with God, because a leader drives and he has to know where to go. These two verses describe the reign of Christ, by the way, because he was the perfect leader and will be again in the future and is from his place in heaven today.